Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Lamed Bet and Aleph by the first line. Tana Banan, Poteach v'ro'eh, golel u'mivarech, v'chozer u'poteach v'kore divrei Rabbi Meir. Here we're talking about the brachot on Kriyat Torah. Someone who gets an aliyah comes up to make the brach on the Torah. So here the Brita suggests, Poteach, he opens it up, v'ro'eh, he sees where they're going to read from, because he should be aware of where the Kriya is from. Generally, the way that we follow in terms of halacha is that you point to the person to the where you're going to start the laning. If he makes a mistake with regards to where we're going to start the laning, as long as when he pointed to that area, the area where you really are going to start was open, then we don't make him go back and make a bracha, because we assume that when he makes the bracha, he makes it on the entirety of the kriya or the Torah that's open at that time. So again, he's supposed to point to the place where you're starting, but if there's any mistake with that, in general, if you're in the general location and it was open at that time, then we're fine. There are some that have the minhag, including Chabad, who make the Baal Kore point to the beginning of the laning and where they're going to end the laning. Over there, if they're going to specify exactly where they're going to lane, if they make a mistake with that, then it could be problematic, because there it's clear they're making the bracha on the specific area that he is delineating in terms of the Kriyat Torah. So he opens it up, looks there, Golel, rolls it back up, Umivarech, then he makes the bracha, the Baruchu, and the Asher Bachar Banu, Vechozer Upoteach Vekoreh, and then you reopen it and start to read it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda Omer, Poteach v'ro'eh. You open it up, see the location, u'mivarech. You make the bracha, v'koreh. And then you don't close it up, you read straight away. You don't ever close the Torah up from the time that it's been opened. My time at Rabbi Meir. What's the reason that Rabbi Meir wants you to close the Torah between the time that you see it for the first time, the kriya, and the time that you actually make the bracha? Kedula. Tamar lula mipnei ma'amru ha'kore b'torah lo yaseyeh l'miturgaman. Why shouldn't the person who's reading the Torah help out or aid the person that's translating it into Aramaic? Deshali Amru Targum Katuv B'Torah. Because if he corrects or he helps out the person who has the Targum, people are going to think that that's also written in the Torah. And that's why he's able to help him out. That's why he has got that information. So we don't want people to make that mistake. Hachanami, so too over here. Kedeshali Amru Brachot Tuvim B'Torah. So it's really clear that people don't think that the Brachot are actually written inside of the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda, Targum ikalamite, brachot lekalamite. By Targum, people might make that mistake. When it comes to brachot, nobody makes that mistake that the brachot are written inside of the Torah. So then, what is the halacha? Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Matna, halacha, poteach, viro'eh, umivarech, vikoreh. You open it up, find the location where you're going to read from, you make the bracha, and then you read on. V'leima halachic Rabbi Yehuda. They essentially just said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So why don't they just say halachic Rabbi Yehuda? Mishum da'apcheluhu. Same answer that we got before, which is the possibility of the attribution of the statements being changed between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. Therefore, to avoid the problem of halachic Rabbi Huda, what does that mean? They just told you which position is that they are paskening like, and they paskening like the position that you keep the Torah open. So now the halacha, what do we do? So here we have the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, both paskening in a similar vein. Kol HaKorim, Mivarchim Lefenei U'Lachorea. This is in Siman Kuf Lamed Tet, Si'if Dalid. Anybody who gets called up to the Torah to read makes a bracha before and afterwards. U'Poteach HaSefer, he opens it up, Kodem Shivarech, V'Ro'eh HaPasuk SheTzarich Lachit Chil Bo. He sees or finds the Pasuk that he's supposed to begin at. V'Achar Kach Yivarech, he makes the bracha, L'Achar Shekara Golel U'Mivarech. And then when he finishes, he also wraps it up and he makes the bracha. Now we have Hagah, the Ramah brings down here, B'Shash Mivarech Bracha Rishona. Yapoch panav elatzad. When he makes that bracha rishona, even though he doesn't close up the Torah, he should turn his head towards the side. Shelo yanireh kimevarech min haTorah. So it doesn't look like he's reading straight out of the Torah. V'nirali, the Ramah says, yapoch panav letzad small. He should turn towards the left side. The reason for turning towards the left side is because you are facing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when you turn to the left, you're facing the right side of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So here you have the Shulchan Aruch is clear that you don't have to roll the Torah back up. You open up the Torah, you make a bracha, and you go on to reading the Torah. You do the Kriyat HaTorah. So too the Ramah supports that position of the Shulchan Aruch. He just says that better when you're making the bracha to turn your head to the side, so it doesn't look like you're reading the bracha from the Torah, and you should turn it to the left side. The Mishnah Brura brings from the Achronim, who don't like that position of the Ramah, to turn the head to the left side, because it looks like you are turning away from the Torah. It's a slight to the Torah to do that. And therefore, the Mishnah Brura breaks down that v'yesh achronim shekatuv tafichat panav inu nachon demereat smoke ilu inu mevrech amash yikra rak al midei achrina. It looks like you're making a bruch on something else. Tamas alek mipanav imeni. You're turning away from the Torah. V'yoter tov l'hatzim einav. Better close your eyes. Shlo yistakel b'sefer Torah b'shat bracha. It says better to close your eyes and not to look directly into the sefer Torah for that reason. Now, this would be pretty straightforward, except for the fact that Tosafot over here does something very interesting, which actually causes the problem. Tosafot over here gives us the procedures of taking the Torah out, what psukim we say when we take the Torah out, and then towards the end of Tosafot of Gololomi Bachutz, he says over here, Ulechatchilo hu gololo visotmo kodem shivarech. Person should open it up and then roll it up before he makes the bracha. So that the people don't say that the brachot are written in the Torah. Avol b'diavad in lachush. B'diavad, if he didn't do it, then we're okay. Sherelo shchichei amei aretz kol kach ata. There aren't so many amei aretz, or it's not such a big shash that we're going to worry about it. Olaval li'achar shekarabo v'day tzarech l'gololo kodem shivarech. After he finishes the laning, he for sure should roll it up before he makes the bracha k'Rav Yehuda. So let's take the two pieces of the Tosafot. The latter half of the Tosafot is pretty straightforward, and that's the way we paskin, which is when you come to make the bracha of Asher Natan Lanu Torah Temet, you first roll up the Torah, and then you make the bracha. The reason for that is pretty straightforward as well, which is that you're going to roll up the Torah anyway now, because you have to call up the next person, you might have a Mishab Beirach, they're not going to keep the Torah open anyway. So if you aren't going to keep the Torah open anyway, why not roll it up before you make the bracha, rather than waiting till after you make the bracha? So that's what everybody says. We saw that in the Shulchan Aruch. Everybody agrees that you do that, you roll up the Torah and then make the bracha after the Aliyah. The question is about the bracha beforehand. Until now, we assumed halacha k'Rav Yehuda means you keep the Torah open. What Tosafot says over here, that Rav Yehuda is not really saying that you should keep the Torah open. He's saying that if you do keep the Torah open, it is okay. That it's bidyavad, it's okay. Not that we're paskin l'chatchila, you should keep the Torah open, but rather, if you do keep the Torah open, we're not going to worry about it. But the preferential way to do this is actually to close the Torah. So the Be'er Halacha quotes this, and brings down this Tosafot, and he says that there are those that believe that opening up the Torah is only bidyavad, l'chatchila, you really should close it. And he concludes, na'ara, na'ara kipashtei, that therefore they would develop different minhagim in different communities, and a minhag of each community is fine. You can follow the minhag, or a person has a personal minhag about this, that they're both valid minhagim, either because of what Tosafot says, or from the other side. Now, the reason to keep the Sefer Torah open, why do you want to keep the Sefer Torah open? There are actually two reasons to do that. One of them is a practical reason, which is that you keep it open in order that there shouldn't be a tircha de tzibura. Because if you close the Torah up, and this happens many times, you close up the Torah and then you make the bracha open it up, the Baal Kori can't find the place anymore. So if you keep it open, then there won't be any time elapsed between the time that you make the bracha and the kriya starts, which is important for the bracha itself, but it's also important for the tzibur. So in order to avoid that problem, we keep the Torah open so the Baal Kori can start right away, get to the place, and move on, instead of having to search for it after you make the bracha. That's one reason to do it. The other reason to do it is a pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah. Pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah in Perek Chet, Pasuk Hey and Vav, over there in Nehemiah talks about Ezra reading the Torah to the people, and it says that brought the Torah, he opened it up for the people to see, he made the bracha, and then only afterwards he read it. So you see from there that there was an opening of the Torah prior to the making of the bracha, and based on that, from Sefer Nehemiah, it sounds like you actually have to open the Torah in order to make the bracha while the Torah is open. Again, that would also be a reason to do it with it's open, is that the bracha that you're making is chal on what you're going to read, what you're going to see there, rather than having it closed. And therefore you should have it open based on that pasuk in Nehemiah where Ezra is reading the Torah. Over there it's interesting because the person who's going to be reading the Torah, it might be that you should open up the Torah. The person who's getting the Aliyah, making the bracha, should open up the Torah, not the Baal Koreh. So sometimes the Baal Koreh opens it up. Maybe the person themselves should open it up because that's what's in Ezra. Again, the halacha, we just discussed that there are two different approaches, both of which are valid. One is which is to close it up and make the bracha and then open it again. The other is to leave it open. And then again, there are different minhagim with how to deal with that. The Ramah says that you look to the side, to the left side. Others suggest that you just close your eyes and look up so that it doesn't look like you're looking into the Sefer Torah, but also that you're not looking away from the Sefer Torah. All right, now we have another statement here in terms of Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav Matna, Halacha. Amar Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav Matna, Haluchot v'ambimot ein behem mishum kedusha. Luchot and bimot do not have kedusha associated with them. Now, these Luchot and Bimot are somewhat difficult to translate. We actually have three different views as to what they mean. Rashi suggests over here, first of all, Luchot, lo yadati, mahen. I have no clue what these Luchot are. V'yesh mefarshim, I heard that some say, hein asuim nesfarim shelanu she'enam asuim gilyon. They're made for our sfarim that don't have a gilyon around them, do not have, are not made in that way. There's some sort of shelving that is kept for sfarim that are not made like Sifrei Torah. The bima, he says, refers to the bima that is put in the Mikdash for Hakel, upon which the king reads Mishneh Torah, or the sections of Mishneh Torah that happen during Hakel. So neither of these items have Kedusha to them. They don't have inherent Kedusha to them. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot, on the other hand, gives an alternative, and he says, Aluchot v'abimot are actually a way of suggesting that the margins that are around the Sefer Torah don't have Kedusha. The Luchot are the vertical margins, and the Bimot are the horizontal margins. So you have a margin on top and the bottom, the horizontal margins, and you have on the sides, you have margins, vertical margins that are called the Luchot. So he says that those don't have Kedusha. Now Tosafot has a problem because the Gemara in other places suggests that they do have Kedusha. So his answer is, depends. If they're still attached to the Torah, then they do have Kedusha. And because they become subordinate to the Ketav that's there, they do have Kedusha. On the other hand, if they are cut away from the Torah, and they're cut off of the Torah, then Ein Behem Mishum Kedusha. Then they don't have any holiness associated with them. The Ran brings another approach about what these Luchot Bimot are you? Bebeit Knesset, Shayu Mishtamshim Behem Laniach Sefer Torah Lehem. These were locations or items within the shul on which they placed the Sefer Torah. Now, if it really is that they place the Sefer Torah on an object, then it is a Davar Shebekdusha, becomes Tashmishe Kedusha. So if that's the case, then why don't they have Kedusha? So he says that it's Be'akrai Ba'alma. They only did this on occasion, when they had to. When there was some reason that they had to put it there, but it was not a regular place for placing the Sefer Torah. On occasion, they would place it on it. Because it's only done on occasion, they are not imbued with Kedusha. He says, Amar Ben Rishalmi. Now the Ran qualifies over here. When it says Ein Behem Kedusha, he says Ein Behem Mishum Kedushat Sefer Torah. They don't have the level of Kedushat Sefer Torah, but they do have a din of Kedushat Beit HaKnesset. The Ran disagrees with others and suggests that the Ein Behem Kedusha here doesn't mean they don't have Kedusha whatsoever. It just means that the level of Kedusha is not that of a Sefer Torah, but rather of something with a lower Kedusha, like Kedushat Beit HaKnesset. But here you have three different views as to what these Luchot and Bimot are. Right now, we have a numerous statements from Rabbi Shvatia Amri Rabbi Yochanan. And this is the first of the statements, and then the remainder of the Gemara here today is going to have numerous statements from him. So Amar Rabbi Shvatia Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hagolel Sefer Torah, Tzarech Shemidenu Ala Tefer. When a person rolls up the Sefer Torah, he has to put it along the seam. So now Rashi claims the reason to do that is because it's easier to tighten it that way. Since the seam has give to it, if you put the seam in the middle when you are tightening it, you will be able to tighten it much better than if you don't have a seam there. That's the way Rashi learns. The Rif, on the other hand, says the reason to put the seam on the area where you're tightening it is because it might rip. And if it's going to rip from the tension of wrapping it, better that it rips along the seam line rather than in the middle of a column. So how do I do that? I ensure that the seam line's on the outside so that if I tighten it and anything goes wrong, it'll rip along that seam line. So that's the way the Rif learns it. Amar Rabbi Shvatia, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hagolel Sefer Torah Gololo Mibachutz, Ve'ein Gololo Mibifnim, Ushu Mahadko Mahadko Mibifnim, Ve'ein Mahadko Mibachutz. Person rolls the Torah, he rolls it from the outside and does not roll it from the inside. Ushu Mahadko, when he tightens it, Mahadko Mibifnim, he tightens from the inside, Ve'ein Mahadko Mibachutz, he doesn't tighten it from the outside. Now you should know that these are very difficult to explain. The Rishonim all have different views as to what this means. Part of that issue is that it seems that the Sefer Torah, or at least the way that we have our Sefer Torah, are different in some way, and therefore we're not totally understanding what they're speaking about because our Sefer Torah function a little differently, and we also do certain practices differently, which we'll see later today. The Mishnah Berurah, in discussing this, says that. He just basically says that today some of this doesn't apply because we don't wrap our Sefer Torah in such a manner, and therefore it's not relevant to us. But here, we'll just explain what the Rishonim suggest over here. You have Rashi, who says, Hagolel Sefer Torah, minyan linyan, someone is rolling a Sefer Torah, vihu yachid, and he's alone. Sefer Torah munach al birkav. and the Sefer Torah is on his knees, on his lap. So golomi b'chutz, what you should do is you pull it from the outside, that you roll the roll, which will tighten it, and then pull away from what is in your lap. You'll hold on to what's in your lap, and then it'll open it up. Rather than rolling the mibifnim, the one that is on your lap, and actually loosening it, because all that will do is let the cloth out, but not wrap it up, and it'll end up on the floor. That's how Rashi explains, Hagolob Sefer Torah does it mibachutz. He does it from the one that's away from your lap, so that you tighten it, and you pull it away from your lap, and that opens up what's there. Kushumahadko, when he tightens it, the Rashi says here, Shigamar migugul mahadahadko, when he's finishing up the rolling it, and he wants to tighten it, yechosbi pnimi viadaka lechitzon. So tighten or pull on the inner one, to tighten out the outer one, kedeshul yechseaktav bizrootav, so that the writing doesn't get covered by his arms. So mitzvah laharot etaktav elaam kishimadko. It's a mitzvah to show the ktav to the people when he is tightening it up. I guess when he's rolling it, he brings this from a second sofrim. When he's doing whatever is considered to be glila or hagba, he has to make it clear to the people. So the way to do that is to keep your arms out of the way. How do you keep the arms out of the way? You keep your arms by the one that is closer into you, the one that is bibifnim. So the one that's bibifnim should do the rolling so that your arm doesn't extend across the ktav to roll the outer one. And that's Rashi's explanation of this sugya. Tosafot over here quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Dekaya kesher mitpachat." When he's mahadko, mahadko mibifnim, he's talking about the knot when he ties it up. When you tie up the cover or you tie up the gartel around the Torah, you should make sure that the knot is on the inside towards the writing. Because if you don't do that, what's going to end up happening is when you want to open up the Sefer Torah, you can actually turn it upside down and it's going to be lying on its writing. You have to open it up on its writing side, untie it, and then flip it over to read it, which is not respectful. So if you want to be able to open it up in a way that you can open it up with the ktav facing up towards you, that means that you should knot it on the inside, mibifnim. And when you tie the knot, you tie it on the inside. That way, when you open it up, it'll open up easily. So that's also what it brings from the Rabbeinu Chananel. So the Ran over here suggests an alternative. And he says, basically, klalo shel davar, haktiva ruya shetamod klapei oto shosek b'sefer Torah mipnei kvod ha-Torah. Whoever's working with the Sefer Torah, who's ever engaged in the Sefer Torah, the ktav should be facing them. So if the person is reading it, then the ktav should be facing him. If the person is rolling it, all of these depend on which way it's happening. Now again, here the Mishnah Brewer writes, things have changed for us, because today we have the Magbia lifts it up, and then he rolls it, and the Golel is wrapping it from the outside, with the ktav facing the Magbia. But that's because we have a different person doing the Glila than the Hagbah. But if you had the same person doing the Hagbah and the Glila, then the Golel, when you roll it up, you'd be rolling it up with the ktav facing you. And that would be the Magbia would roll it up with the ktav facing him, because he's also the Golel. That's what the Ran suggests, is whoever's engaged or working with the Sefer Torah should make sure that the ktav is facing them. He then says, Vacherim Pirshu, there are others that explain, when you wrap up the Torah, you should make sure to take it out of its cover. You shouldn't try to unwrap or wrap the Torah inside of its cover. Rather, you should remove the cover and then roll it up or tighten it, unroll it, tighten it, and then only afterwards put it inside of its cover. Because again, that's Kavod HaTorah. And also make sure that the Torah is being rolled properly, because you can see what's happening, and not do it inside of its teak. And number of explanations for what is being suggested over here. That's another way to explain this. All of these are, in a sense, common sense, and you should do things that are basically Kavod HaTorah. That's what's being described here in all of these instances. V'amar Rabbi Shvati, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so another statement that they have, Asara Shekaru B'Torah, 10 people read the Torah. Now, 10 people read the Torah doesn't mean there are 10 aliyot. The aliyot are 3, 7, whatever they're supposed to be. Asara is because you need a minion to read the Torah. So if you have a minion that reads the Torah, Hagadosh Bem Golel Sefer Torah, the person who is most deserving, the highest person there, the person with the stature that befits this, should get Gdila. Because Hagololo Notel Schar Kulan. Because the one who's Golel gets all the Schar. Damre Bishua Ben Levi, Asara Shekaru B'Torah, 10 people that read the Torah, I mean a minion that reads the Torah, Golel, Sefer Torah, Kibel, Schar Kulan. The one who rolls up the Torah gets all the Schar. I'm going to say, Schar Kulan? Why should he get all their reward? What did they do wrong that they're losing their reward? Kibel, Schar, Keneged Kulan. He gets the Schar equivalent to all the other people who are there, as well as all the other people that got Aliyot. So it's befitting. The person who's of the highest stature, the person who is the most deserving, you give him the Glila, because not only is he doing the mitzvah that's the biggest, but he also gets the schar keneged kulam, and that's appropriate for this individual. Now, again, over here, the Mishnah Brewer and others mention That's only true in their day when the Golel and the Magbir were the same person. So today, when we're talking about the Golel equivalent today would be the Magbir, the one who lifts up the Torah, the one who shows the Torah to the Tzibur. That is the one who the Gemara is speaking about here. That is a Golel, Kibel Skar Keneged Kulam. He's the one that gets the Skar Keneged everyone else. And you see, Tosafot mentions over here, Gadol Shbuklan Golel, the Fishu Kvodo. Kam the Fishu Gadol Shbuklan, Kedai Huli Tol Skar Keneged Kulam, Kedam Rabbi Yeshua. So that's it. He's the one that is Ra'ui. It's the best person to pick for the job because he should get the most Skar over here. Now, there are those that note that today we give Galila to the kids. So there are those that believe that the Galila today is still the Galila that's being mentioned here in the Gemara. But why do we give it to kids to do? It's because the Mechanchan b'mitzvot, to give them a chance to do mitzvot where they can participate and they can do it. And a mitzvah that has skar that is associated with it. Although most believe that our Hagbah is the equivalent of what's being mentioned here in the Gemara with regards to Golel Sefer Torah. Marmar Shvati Amar Rabbi Yochanan, again another memra from the Marmar Shvati Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayish Mishtamshim b'batkol. How do we know that you're allowed to use a bat kol? Now, use a bat kol is possibly problematic because of the problem of lo tenachashu, lo teonenu. You're not allowed to astrologers, predictors of the future, which don't come from Hashem or don't come from the Navi. So over here, you're using some sort of voice to direct you as a siman, as a sign to do something. So what here the Gemara differentiates is between something that is a siman versus something that is nichush. So, a siman, if you get a sign about something, the Gemara here says it, and the Gemara says it in other places. We have it in Horiot. We have it in Horiot, in Kretot. We have a Gemara that says, Siman Miltahi. That siman really has an effect, and based on that, we have all the simanim that we do on Rosh Hashanah. Again, we dealt with the sugya over there, why it's allowed, or why is it different than Nichush. But the Gemara is pointing out here that Batko has a din of siman, and not a din of Nichush. Shenemar, Vozenecha Tishmana Davar Miacharecha. Your ears will hear something coming from behind you, Lemor, saying. Now the latter half of the pasuk is missing, but the latter half of the pasuk is important, which is Ze Aderech Luchubo. This is the way to go. Kita aminu v'chita smilu. When you go right or you go left. I mean, this is giving you directions, and you should follow the directions. V'hani milei deshama kal gavro b'mato. If you hear a man's voice in the city, v'kal itata b'dabro, or you hear a woman's voice out in the field. Because those are more unusual types of things. They're not just people speaking, people or noises that you're hearing. It's something that's out of the ordinary. And since it's out of the ordinary, it most likely is a bat kol. V'hudamar hin hin, v'hudamar lav lav. He also has to duplicate what he says. Let's say yes, yes, or no, no. So it's another siman that it is a bat kol that is speaking to the individual. Again, the fact that you use this as a siman is permissible. And we have a source for it in the pasuk. And is not subsumed under the problem of lo tenachashu. V'amar Rav Shvati, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol kore b'lo ni'ima, b'shone b'lo zimra, alav ha-katuv omer. Anybody who reads the Torah without the trup, or he learns Mishnah without the tune for learning Mishnah, alav ha-katuv omer, v'gam ani natati lehem chukim lo tovim, that I gave them these chukim lo tovim, these laws that were not good for them. Here they're saying chukim lo tovim means the chukim will not be good because you don't read them with the proper te'amim. Now the te'amim, as far as the Torah is concerned, we know what the te'amim are. First of all, they're important in terms of the punctuation and the division of the Torah, of the sentences, the psukim of the Torah. So that's why it's important over there. By the Mishnah, Tosafot claims that this was a type of tune or chant that they had in terms of saying the Mishnayot because l'fi she'yushonim otam al peh, they used to learn them by heart. It was easier to remember things by heart if you read them, the chant that goes along with them, or the chant that has to do with the Mishnah. So it's a memory aid in order to learn. Does it suggest that it's independent of that, that learning should involve a sound or an articulation of that which you are learning in order to have it be remembered as well as have it be properly learnt. So then Matifla Abaye challenges that and says, Mishum do yado li psume kalo, just because he doesn't have a good voice, you're going to say about him, Mishpatim lo yichru b'hem, that he has laws which why he can't live by? By the way, that's the latter half of the pasuk that we quoted before, which is Gam ani natati lehem chukim lo tovim, Mishpatim lo yichru b'hem. So he says, because the person doesn't know how to sing well, or doesn't have a nice voice, doesn't have a good tune, all of a sudden he's not acceptable? Ella kidra misharshia. Damar shnei tamei chachamim yoshvim bi'ir achat. If you have two scholars that live in a single city, vein nochim ze leze behalacha, they do not treat each other respectfully when it comes to each other's psak halacha. Alehem akaduv omer, v'gam ni natati lehem chukim lo tovim, u'mishpotim lo yichyu behem. This is actually written in Yechezkel. It talks about the cycle that Bnei Yisrael go through, where Hashem gives them all these great laws and all these things to do, and then they violate those laws, and they violate the Shabbat, and they ruin it over and over again. So in the end, Hashem says, I'm just going to give you these bad chukim, these bad laws, that you won't be able to live by, because you're not taking up. I'm giving you all the good stuff, and you keep rejecting them. So I'm just going to give you the bad stuff, because you reject the good stuff. So the way the Ron reads this, it's actually this thing, he takes the chukim lo tovim, umishpatim lo yichyu behem. He says that you should read it this time. Ani natati lehem chukim. I gave the people these laws. Behem lo tovim ze lezeh. They're not good to each other. Lefikach. Therefore, ani mevi alehem mishpatim lo yichyu behem. I'm going to bring upon them the precepts by which they will not be able to live. I mean, that's the punishment for these individuals who don't treat each other respectfully and properly when it comes to the chukim, to the laws that Hashem has given us. Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Balochei Sefer Torah Arum, Nikvar Arum. Anybody who holds a Sefer Torah naked, where it says Arum, Sakadatcho, what does it mean, naked? Ella, Ema Nikvar Arum, Belo Mitzvot. What do you mean, he's going to be buried naked? Everybody's buried either in Tachvichim or nothing on it. It's not really relevant. So what does that have to do here? Ella, Nikvar Arum, Belo Mitzvot. He's going to be buried without any Mitzvot. Belo Mitzvot, Sakadatcho? What do you mean, you're going to be buried without Mitzvot? Ella, Amar Bayi, Nikvar Arum, Belo Uto Mitzvah. He's going to be buried naked without that mitzvah. So he's going to lose out whatever mitzvah he was engaged in, whether it was the wrapping of the Torah, if it was reading of the Torah. He's going to lose that mitzvah if he touches the Torah, grabs the Torah, without anything between his hand and the Torah. Meaning that you don't have something to hold the Torah by, you don't have something that wraps around the Torah. It's inappropriate to touch the Torah directly because that's a derech bizayon, it's not proper kvod ha-Torah. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Breid Rabbi Yanai Sabo. Rabbi Yanai says in the name of the elder Rabbi Yanai, Mishmei de Rabbi Yanai Rabo. In the name of the great Rabbi Yanai, Mutav Tigalel HaMitpachat V'al Yigalel Sefer Torah. It's better that you wrap up the Mitpachat and you don't wrap up the Sefer Torah. So again, we mentioned this before, that it's important to wrap the Sefer Torah in the Mitpachat. So you have the Mitpachat around and you roll it with the Sefer Torah, the Mitpachat around the Sefer Torah, and not wrap the Sefer Torah by rolling it around in the Mitpachat. That's one way to learn this. You shouldn't wrap the Torah inside the Mitpachat. Rather, you should wrap it on the outside and then wrap the Mitpachat around it from the outside afterwards. And now here the Gemara ends off with an important statement, but explains a lot of what we just done over the last couple of dapim, which is, Vedaber Moshe Modei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. Moshe told the Moadim of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. So what does it mean that Moshe told them to Bnei Yisrael? Mitzvatan shu korim otan kol echad v'echad bizmano. Told them that each one of the holidays, you have to read the relevant topic on that holiday. So Tan Rabbanan. Moshe tiken lem Bnei Yisrael. Moshe established for Bnei Yisrael shu shu'alim v'toshim b'nyono shu yom hilchot pesach v'pesach hilchot atzer v'tzer hilchot chag v'chag. That people should be doresh, topic of the day. If you're on Pesach, they should be learning about Hilchot HaPesach. If it's Shavuot, they should be learning about the Halachot of Shavuot. And if it's Sukkot, they should be learning about the Halachot of Sukkot. So here's a statement of the Gemara. What you have to deal with over here is that we have other Gemaras throughout Shas that say, Sholim v'doshim Hilchot HaPesach, Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaPesach, 30 days before Pesach. So how do we reconcile that other statement of the Gemara that you start 30 days before the holiday with this Gemara over here, which suggests that you do it on the holiday itself? If you go to the Halachot, this is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Chav Tet, Siv Aleph, it's brought down in the beginning of Hilchot Pesach. Now, the way that the Girsa is brought by the Beit Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch is, Sholim b'Hilchot Pesach, Kodom Pesach, Shloshim Yom. You ask about the Hilchot Pesach for the 30 days prior to Pesach. So now, this is very important because there's actually a machloket about what the Girsa is. The way that Shulchan Aruch brings it down is the Sholim b'Hilchot Pesach. You ask about the Hilchot Pesach for the 30 days prior to the and Pesach. On the other hand, there are other girsaot, which are found, which say, Shoalim vidorshim. They ask, as well as doresh. They teach the Hilchot HaPesach Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaPesach. Why is this relevant? Because the Ran has an interesting shita, which is premised on the Rashba, that there actually is a difference. Shoalim Hilchot HaPesach Lifnei HaPesach is not that you have to learn the Hilchot HaPesach. It's just a way for you to create a hierarchy or a sequencing of how you answer the questions of the students. And whoever asks a question that is topical gets his question answered first. So what that says is that within 30 days of the holiday, anybody asking a question about that holiday gets precedence in terms of their answer because that's considered to be topical at the time. So what it means is, Sholim HaLachot HaPesach means you ask questions of HaLachot HaPesach and you get answered with priority because of that. But now that we learn or teach Torah, that's only on the day itself. That's what's meant here by the Gemara Megillah. Teaching the Torah, teaching the Halachot, that's on Pesach itself, that's on Atzeret itself, that's on Sukkot itself. And then, 30 days before, are governed by this idea that you can ask questions, and they're considered to be topical and relevant, and you therefore get precedence in terms of receiving an answer, and as well as the fact that you can ask the question. It's not off topic for you to ask the question, because you're within that sphere of the holiday. That's the way the Ran explains it. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah over there, as well as the Ber Halacha, it's an extensive Ber Halacha and Mishnah Berurah there with regards to this topic. And he says that if you look through the Rishonim, the Geonim, and everybody else, this Ran is really a Dat Yachid, even though the Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like that, it's really a Dat Yachid. And almost everybody else agrees that the Girsei Sholim V'Dorshim, and that there is a requirement to learn beforehand. Well then, once you say that, how do you reconcile, or how do you deal with our Gemara over here? Our Gemara over here says you learn on the day itself. So the Mishnah Berurah, in the Mishnah Berurah itself, he brings down a distinction, depends which holiday. He says that the Gemara, whenever it says Sholim V'Dorshim, Shloshim Yom Lifnei, it's always about Pesach. When Pesach comes, you have 30 days before. Any other holiday, you would learn on the holiday itself. Why is that? Because the Hilchot of Pesach are extensive. They are huge. You have Hilchot Chametz, you have Hilchot Matzah, you have all the Hilchot of Pesach that are way too voluminous for you to learn it in a very short period. Therefore, we do it 30 days before, as well as the fact that it involves a Chiyuv Karet. Since it involves a Chiyuv Karet, that's a serious matter. So there you do it 30 days before. But when it comes to any other of the holidays, and we follow the principle here in the Gemara Megillah, which is you learn Halachot on the day itself. That's one way that the Achronim tried to reconcile between the statement in other places versus the statement over here. Then in the Ber Halacha, he brings down other alternative explanations for how this works. He says that there are some that suggest, when we say here that Moshe was Tikain, that you should learn all the Halachot on the Chag itself, it doesn't literally mean on the Chag itself. It means the Chag itself plus its sphere of influence. What is the sphere of influence of a Chag? That is, the 30 days before the Chag is also within the sphere of influence of the Chag. The Gemara takes this approach, and others take the approach like this, which is that the two are not saying something different, they're saying the exact same thing. One is saying that it has to do with the Chag, it's anchored in the Chag, but once it's anchored in the Chag, it affects the area around the Chag, and the area around the Chag is the 30 days before. 30 days before is considered already to be within that sphere of influence, therefore you start learning 30 days before, but it's also a kiyum of what's said here in the Gemara in Megillah. Or others, like the Chok Yaakov that's quoted here by the Ber Halacha, who suggests that the answer to the question is, where? It has to do whether it's a public drasha or whether it's in the private home. It says, based on the Yerushalmi, that Sholim Bilchot HaPesach BePesach is Chalot HaTzer B'Tzer B'Chot Chag B'Chag B'Beit Va'ad Sholim Kodim Shloshim Yom. That's only done in a public forum. When we're talking about the Shloshim Yom beforehand, that's talking about in public, we learn these halachot, these halachot are taught. But that's not what's done in the house. When we're talking about B'Bayit, in your own house, you have to learn the Hilchot HaPesach on Pesach, the Hilchot HaChag on Chag. So they differentiate between Shloshim Yom Lifneikein, which is to do with public lectures and public places of learning, versus the private home, which is governed by the Gemara here in Megillah. This is, again, is rejected by many of the Achronim, because you don't find such a distinction. Not in the Geonim, not in Lashon HaGemara. Many times Lashonot, actually, are against this explanation or this differentiation that is made over here. And therefore, the Ber Halacha concludes in the end that, at least in public, people should, in places that gather for learning, they should be learning the Hilchot HaPesach 30 days beforehand, or the holidays Halachot 30 days before the holiday, because according to many, that's the Ikar Halacha period. You should always be learning 30 days before. And even according to the Yerushalmi, according to the Chok Yaakov, when you're in public, for sure you should have to be learning the Hilchot HaPesach beforehand. And then again, there's still a requirement on the holiday itself to learn the relevant halachot of the holiday, Pesach b'Pesach, Atzeret b'Atzeret, and Chag b'Chag. Okay, with that, we're going to end Masechet Megillah. Hadron Alach B'nei Yair, Uslik Alah, Masechet Megillah.